For our scripture text this morning, we will also read the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to the end. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to the end first, and then the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The second portion is the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. The topic of our message this morning is, Why miss the blessings of baptism? Why miss the blessings of baptism? These words come from the mouth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who in the second command in Mark chapter 16 tells us that those who believe shall be saved. Not the words of men, but the words of God Himself. You have believed in the word that is preached, it's very good. And now you desire baptism. And I tell you, you are saved. So how wonderful it is to have these words from the mouth of our Lord Himself. Because many of us are hazy. Yes, we baptize, but you have still no assurance that by being baptized, you are saved. That's what Jesus says. In fact, baptism is given by Him as a sign and a seal that those who come will be saved. So, we don't baptize too often, but usually Christmas, church anniversary, Easter, the most is three times. And when we come to baptize this Christmas Eve, we are going to baptize. You have still plenty of time to come in to Dr. Koo's catechism class. He teaches those things that you should know, the basics. And those who are not in the baptism class also are confirmed in their faith. I would therefore ask you to quickly come and join the class to be in time for the baptism this coming Christmas Eve. We have the very acme of our celebration the whole year is Christmas Eve. And so many who are outside Christ will come and join and hear the gospel. So in advance I tell you that when Christmas Eve comes, do bring a friend or your own family members. Now, the Philippian jailer, for example, he was very afraid and he cried out, "What shall we do to be saved?" And Paul said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Not only that, and thy house." God is not only interested in our individual salvation, He wants to save our whole family. Is there anyone in your house still not saved? Your father, your mother, your son, they have gone astray, or daughter, but he desires that they also should be saved. Sometimes you have a very good daughter, but then because she gets mixed up with the world and loves someone outside who is not a Christian, well, you have the problem. Their faith is then shaken. I remember a member of our church had a father in the world making business, and he prayed for him for 14 years, "Oh Lord, save my father." He did not lose faith. And thank God, by the 14th year, the father believed and happily just in time. Because 1 month after that, he got sick and he died. But I had already baptized him by being confirmed of his faith personally, and I believe that the Lord saved him. And he was very happy. This is not the only case, but there are many, several other cases that have happened. Then we now come to the record that after he was saved, he was baptized, he and all his, which is household baptism. He not, and his cats and dogs, he and all his, he and all his family, his children, his wife first. Husband and wife, first of all, must be baptized. And there are three instances of household baptism. Paul baptizing the Philippian jailer and his whole house. But just before this, he preached by the riverside, and there was a lady called Lydia who believed, and she and her whole house, household, husband, children, whole house were baptized. And all that the apostles did in the Acts of the Apostles are set as an example for the church. They are not mere records, but they are the pattern of what we should do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says once again, because he is not primarily to baptize, but he still baptizes. I believe he commits all the baptism to Timothy, to his assistants. He is so busy. But all were baptized. I baptized also the household of Stephanas. And so it is important for us to have household baptism, our whole house. In school, I had a very good friend by the name of Ong Kim Ho. And I went to his house, and there were others, brothers, sisters, many of them. And they told me my mother had 23 children, which was a fact, and visit the home. But when my father and mother believed, all those that are not baptized were baptized. And all the children that were born after that were also baptized. Household baptism. From household baptism, we automatically include the infants. But because there are Baptists who do not baptize the infants, they say, show me, show me. All he and all his may be big children, grown-up children, and not babies. And here comes an argument between Baptists and Presbyterians. But I'm not afraid about the argument. Infants are also belonging to him, he and all his. And so, we baptize infants. Those of you who have children born to you, young parents, you should desire to have your children, little children, baptized, I believe, as soon as possible. And when you come, one of the questions you have to answer is that, will you bring your child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord when they are young? How wonderful it is to have a mother, a Christian mother, who sings hymns. And from a very young age, you already are given the wonderful music of heaven. And my mother used to sing hymns as I grew up. Well, I thought I brought my baby to be baptized and that's it. I am given to the Lord already. No, but it is your duty to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How do you bring them up? To teach them to pray, first of all, when they know how to pray. To thank the Lord for food, three meals. Do you pray together with your family before you take your food? To give thanks, always. Or just rush into it. You're so hungry, you even forget to pray. That is not the way. To teach them how to pray. Getting up in the morning to thank God that you have a happy night of sleep. And then when you go to bed, to confess your sins. All these are part of the training of our children. Now here comes, in the matter of infant baptism, and the bringing up of our children, the role of grandparents. And I want to speak from my own wonderful experiences to get them, when they are small, that they can understand. In this case, I started with two grandchildren and kneel beside me. And I always say, come for blessing, and they understand. To bring our children up, caning is important. If they do not behave, 4 times in Proverbs, do the spare the rod, spoil the child, 4 times in Proverbs. And yet, by blessing, by positive, it really moves their heart. I come now to kneel beside Grandpa for God's blessing. And they understand. And what will you teach them? Loving Heavenly Father. Help us to love Jesus. Because He first loved us by dying on the cross for our sins. This is the most important point I bring out. That we may follow Him and obey Him. And then after that, we ask God to help them in their studies to pass their exams. Instead of grandparents, grandmothers, grandfathers are so busily involved with their grandchildren because they stay in the home with their sons. So automatically they are involved in bringing them up, but they forget to seek the Lord. And what a great power is being lost. But the main point of these words of Mark, they that believe shall be saved. I want to stress it again to bring it up to you. Right. The wonderfulness of the blessings of baptism is from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He that believe shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It's also a warning to those of us who may be coming week in and week out, and yet you can be not believing at all. During the Japanese war, which was very soon after the Johnson Revival in Singapore, there was one young man I visited. There was a photo of him standing behind Johnson. And when I thought that he must be having the same spirit, it's wonderful to call on a brother. You know what he said? I never believed that Jesus is the Son of God. I only think him to be a prophet. My heart sank. He happens to be the brother of Miss Ong, who was very zealous. She's already gone to be with the Lord. And when I conducted the funeral, the brother came along, but he looked very shabby and very dispirited. And I prayed in my heart for him that he might awake and confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe it in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, so we pray for anyone here who may still not receive Him as a Son of God, but merely as a prophet. Have mercy on such a person, and we thank Thee for everyone who is baptized or who is going to be baptized soon, not having any procrastination. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.